Son of a bitch.
I like it like that.
What? No, no, it's... It did start recording. The screen made it look like it wasn't recording. Try again. Frodo lives. I mean, Decking lives. This is Pure Decking for show. For what the fuck is today? I was reacting to Psychros in the chat room. Thursday, something, November, 1976. This is Pure Decking for show number 325. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and hamsternaut based cryptocurrency. I'm Morps. Tonight we have BSV.
Hello.
What were you for Halloween, BSV?
Lazy gamer sitting on a couch.
Okay, well, mildly disappointing.
I expected costume to pull off.
Yeah, I expected you to have some kind of an epic, you know, dragon-based costume, but okay. Well, that's okay.
That's not the costume.
Nice. And RU is here.
Love what you've done with the new studio, Morps. Looks fantastic. Drapes really go well.
Yeah, you know, I thought hot pink might have been a bit much, but it seems to work.
It works. I wouldn't say it's blinding whatsoever. And if you're curious what I dressed up as, I dressed up as a hamster naut.
What was amazing was the pictures of him inside the hamster cage.
Getting into that hamster skin was hard. Those things don't grow real big. It was 1001 Hamsters, the movie. just Google hamster naut if you're curious what we're talking about.
We need to come up with a hamster based cryptocurrency. We can call it the ham coin.
We'll have to post the website into the description with the show.
Oh no. We can get sued by Funimation, but we'll call it the Hamtaro, because I think it's a funnier name.
What about the Aqua Ham?
I don't know. I never actually watched that show, but the Aqua Ham sounds like a really bad superhero.
Dude, if he ever perfects the hamster naut thing, you know, they really can scale it up to pigs.
Yeah.
Then you can have your aquatic pig center.
So... But yeah, for anybody who's not aware, let me just post that in the IRC to, you know, Psychros, who's the only one in the IRC. Hi, Psychros. we've been dead for 3 weeks, so I can't exactly blame anybody. But he hasn't updated since September, though, so that's a little disappointing. Rip George and Scott. But yeah, this dude is actually building aquatic hamster... containers?
Habitats for hamsters.
You know, I mean, he's actually putting a lot of serious engineering thought into this. So, unfortunately, there's only a handful of posts, but I mean, this thing's awesome. So, anyways, we'll just leave that, where that is. And, if his background image is what I think it is, oh no, it's not, never mind. I thought he had the background image on his web page of the guy falling in the water, but it's the water without the guy falling in it, so that's unfortunate. Because the guy falling in it was much better wallpaper.
Good to see a man with dreams.
Yeah, yeah. On that note, we are back. I am no longer on the lam, and I only traversed the East Coast this time, so...
I told you, man, you'll never find Lincoln's gold that way.
I can dream, damn it.
And how many times do you need to have someone scream, "Get out of my lawn, you fucking asshole," at 2 in the morning?
Well, it's not the ones that... That one's fine. That one's not that big of a deal. It's usually easy to get away from a lawn. It's when they say, get the fuck out of my kitchen, you crazy asshole. That's the, when you need to be a little bit concerned. There's walls in the way of the escape, especially if you didn't leave the door open to, you know, avoid the bugs and stray dogs and that kind of shit. So, I guess we can get into it here.
We could.
So I thought we should talk about Gab. So I've got
I'm just going to go straight up. Never used the service. Only heard about it in passing.
Me, same so here.
I have no vested interest in the Gab.
So, yeah, I've never used it either. I'd never heard of it. And, you know, it's just... But it really does shine some interesting lights on the way things have been going. And we called this kind of stuff happening after the Stormfags got their website shut down. Now, in calling them that, am I insulting Stormfag? Am I insulting the Stormer people, or am I insulting gay people? You figure it out. I don't know. I don't actually know.
Either way, send your complaints to Dear Morps at GPOBox757. Go fuck yourself.
I feel really bad for whoever actually has that P.O. box. or you can send it to our official feedback channel at don'tcare.org. Anyways, you know somebody has some of those addresses, and they must get some really bad shit.
So they know what they were getting into.
Yeah, BBC and Business Insider both have some information here, so... Business Insider's Gab, the social network popular with the far right, has temporarily shut down after GoDaddy pulled its support. And this is from the 29th, and I don't think this has the Microsoft stuff in it, but Microsoft also threatened to shut them down because they were apparently using Azure on the back end. Just their highlights here kind of cover some of it. GoDaddy is the latest company to pull its support from Gab, a social network popular with the far right because it doesn't police hate speech and positions itself as an alternative to Facebook and Twitter. The web hosting company GoDaddy gave Gab 24 hours to find another hosting provider, and Gab is now shut down until it finds another host. In a statement to The Verge, GoDaddy said it discovered numerous instances of content on the site that both promotes and encourages violence against people. The suspect in the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting that left 11 dead and 6 injured over the weekend is believed to have used Gab and posted anti-Semitic messages on it, including one right before the attack. So that's pretty much the headline. The only thing that seems out of whack is that they're talking about how Gab encourages hate speech, and I don't think that's accurate. And maybe I'm reading a little into it about the way they're writing it, but because they're talking about being popular with the far right and all this. If I understood right, Gab just simply didn't censor anybody. You just got upvoted or downvoted as it was, and you know you could post whatever the hell you wanted, but it wasn't, you know, they weren't going to delete it because somebody was insulted.
But also too, the users paid for it.
Yeah,
it wasn't an ad revenue driven site. It was a user pays at the back end where you could use it for free and you get the basics. Then if you wanted the extras, like the videos, streaming, stuff like that, you could pay for a premium account, and that's what kept Gab going. That's how I understand it was structured.
Right, having never used it. Yeah, following the shooting, PayPal, Medium, Stripe, and Join also blocked Gab from accessing their services. The full statement on Gab's homepage is, Gab has spent the past 48 hours... proudly working with the DOJ and the FBI to bring justice to an alleged terrorist. Because of the data we provided, they now have plenty of evidence for their case. In the midst of this, Gab has been no-platformed by the essential internet infrastructure providers at every level. We are the most censored, smeared, and no-platformed startup in history, which means we are a threat to the media and Silicon Valley oligarchy. Gab isn't going anywhere. Doesn't matter what you write. It doesn't matter what sophists say. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. So something I haven't tried to do is just load gab.com and see if it even loads up.
Oh, it does. Do now.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Transition to a new hosting provider. Gab will be inaccessible for a period of time. Internet is not reality. TV is not reality. 80% of normal everyday people agree with Gab and support free expression and liberty. Blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it's the owner's letter. So let's see what BBC says. Twitter rival used by a man accused of a gun attack in U.S. Pentagon has gone offline after several technologies supporters or services withdrew support from it. Gab described itself as a defender of free speech and expression with nearly 80,000 or 800,000 users. It has faced criticism in the past for providing outlet for far-right figureheads and conspiracy theorists banned from other social networks. The service has said it has zero tolerance policy for terrorism and violence. However, it has acknowledged that a verified account whose details match those of the alleged Tree of Life synagogue shooters have been active on its service. The account registered to Robert Bowers has posted several anti-Semitic messages on the platform and a final updated written, "Screw your optics, I'm going in." Damn, I didn't know what he had actually posted. That's
yeah, it was this dude was all sorts of fucking unhinged, and he that line right there is death penalty, right there.
Yeah,
fully supportive of it because that was fully intent. He knew what it was going to look like. He knew what it looked like when it played out in politics, and he was fully aware of what he was doing. So fuck it, man, needle that cunt up.
Yeah. Gab said it was ready and willing to work with law enforcement and noted the suspect also had accounts on other social networks. It said high volumes of criminal activity were present on other social media platforms, and it specifically criticized Twitter for having posts from anti-Semites and ISIS cells, adding no one was calling for its competitors' closure. Even so, some technology companies who have severed their relationship with Gab said they're uncomfortable with its behavior. GoDaddy explained why he gave Gab in response to complaints received over the weekend. GoDaddy investigated and discovered numerous instances of content on the website that promotes violence against people. Gab has reported fear the three technology companies have not. Okay, yeah. So, let's see. They've got some five things to know about Gab. Critics have described it as a haven for the far right since many controversial figures have moved there after being banned from Twitter and Facebook. Among them are conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, the founder of the neo-Nazi site The Daily Stormer, Andrew Agglin, the anti-Islam group Britain First. Was Britain First anti-Islam?
No.
I was going to say, I just thought they were just hard on immigration law.
Yeah, they just want tighter regulations. They've said nothing about Islam that I'm aware of.
I don't know. Honest yeah, answer, dude, I don't know. I just didn't remember them being an anti-Islam group. Gab says it welcomes all speech and membership mute accounts they do not want to see. Not everything is allowed on Gab. Its terms and conditions do not allow direct threats of violence, and founder Andrew Torba has previously blogged disavowing political violence. Posts that break U.S. laws, such as copyright content and images of child abuse, are also not allowed. A small number of Gab users have complained that the platform does not allow cartoon... Oh, dear God. A small number of Gab users have complained that the platform does not allow cartoon depiction of children in sexual situations. Good.
Though it shouldn't. Like, dude, who fucking argues from that standpoint?
Well, because
they're
trying to make Gab look as horrible as they possibly can in this article. But it's just like, okay.
Dude, I'm pretty tolerant about a lot of things. But if I'm sitting there at a dinner party and someone goes, you know what, I think lolly porn should be fucking everywhere. Dude, you ain't walking out of there.
That was the do I have a better sound effect than that? No, not really. Oh, yeah, no, it's... I do.
Time to go nose down and call it a night.
Yeah, because you're going to be bleeding on the way out the door.
The company has told those people to go somewhere else. Gab does not carry advertising. Instead, members can pay for a pro membership that unlocks several features, including live video streaming. Apple has never allowed Gab on its App Store, citing pornographic content and hate speech. Gab was available on Google Play until August of 2017, when Google removed it, citing hate speech. The company has produced versions of its app with content filters switched on by default, but Apple and Google have not allowed the app in their stores. Gab has described this as Silicon Valley censorship. Gab has faced censorship accusations of its own. In 2017, its web domain registrar ordered it to delete a post mocking Heather Heyer, a woman killed in a protest-related violence in Charlottesville. Oh, that must be the chick who got hit by the car.
She didn't get hit by the car. She had a heart attack. That's
no, I knew the car wasn't what killed her, but I thought she actually got hit.
She, No, she didn't get hit. If you look at the pictures, she was actually on the sidewalk away from it.
Yeah, I knew it was a heart attack that actually killed her, but I thought she did get... Okay, well, I don't remember.
Who cares either way? But she did die. There's no...
No, she died. No,
she died. I'm not disputing that fact.
I feel bad that she died. I thought I remembered her getting... I thought he actually hit her, but it was a heart attack that killed her.
Yeah.
We talked about it. Maybe I'm just misremembering things. I don't know. Don't trust my memory.
Mine either. I drink.
Yeah, me too. I work in IT security. Of course, I fucking drink. Welcome to internet security. Here's your alcoholism. It's not complimentary, but you're gonna have it. Let's see. Faced with threat of losing its web domain, GoatGab deleted the post and sought a new domain registrar. Its cloud service provider Microsoft also ordered it to delete two anti-Semitic posts. However, these were subsequently removed by the writer himself. Gab has said it wants to develop its own decentralized infrastructure so it can avoid censorship. So, I mean, it's interesting that this social network site has just been totally destroyed because one person on the platform was absolutely fucking nuts and did something terrible. You know, I'm certainly not defending, you know, Buddy shooting up the synagogue there. No, he should have been turned off. They actually got him alive, though, didn't they?
I got to give it to the cops. It cost two of their own, but they got him alive.
Yeah.
They got him alive so we can watch him get executed live on TV. That's all I'm hoping for.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we can bring drawing and quartering back for this piece of shit. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
You know,
he's had a fair trial, though. He's had a fair trial.
Well, yeah, obviously. He's got to have a fair trial. I mean, shit. Speedy trial of his peers.
But hang on, this would be the first trial where you just have someone who wasn't there going, that guy did it, and everyone's going to go, yep. And there's no dispute.
So we've managed to find this unpartial jury. They're all from the local synagogue. It's like,
wow. Where are you going to find 12 pieces of shit that are this man's peers? You know what I mean? Like, if he's to be judged by his peers, he's going to have 12 pieces of shit sit on that fucking bench.
No, let's get an appropriate jury for this man. Man, there's an awful lot of yarmulkes there. Anyways.
Oh, what's that? Ben Shapiro, juror number one.
Yeah, yep. there you go. But
Your Honor, we're gonna have to have a change of venue. We want this trial in Israel. Just to be fair.
Oh God.
I can hear the people clutching their pearls. Oh my God, they're making light of killing Jews. We're not. It was fucking you can't just look at this and be upset all the time. You just gotta fucking
I'd rather laugh than cry, but yeah. We're actually advocating Jewish revenge here. So, I mean, we're not making fun of them at all. We're saying they should get their due.
Either way, like, I don't want to have to justify it. If you fucking misinterpreted what we said, go fuck yourself.
Fair enough.
Yeah, should Gab have gone away because of one fucktard?
No.
Because Gab didn't do anything.
Well, Gab was providing a platform that just simply didn't do any censorship at all.
Dylan Roof was on Twitter.
And they're absolutely getting...
How many other platforms did other people who committed heinous crimes use?
And I don't know. I'm sure I'm sure more than one school shooter went on 4chan, yet it's still up.
Hey, don't do that. You don't want that site to go away.
Not saying I do. I'm just using them as an example.
I'm just saying, man, you do not want to let the fucking ghosts out of the chamber. Like, they're safely stored right now. I don't care what the governor and the commissioner says. If you turn that off, you fucking will not
That's
know what's
going
to happen.
That's one box that won't have hope left in it.
Don't let Robert Peck anywhere near the 4chan servers. We're just saying.
That's every time, man. Whenever someone says, yeah, 4chan should be turned off, I just think of that Ghostbusters scene where the dude's like, you got to turn the containment thing off. I've got a cord. Don't do it, man. Fucking ghosts and shit everywhere. That's what happens if 4chan goes away.
Well, Cycross actually has a great point. What's to stop this guy from putting up his own web server? I mean, come on.
Good point, man. Very good point.
So, I mean, other than he's in police custody now, but Modern Rogue did an article on a couple of guys apparently worked in technology recycling in prison for their slave job and stole enough parts to actually build computers like that they hid in the ceiling of their cell.
Mankind is very creative when locked up.
Yeah.
But, like, no doubt there are going to be some sympathizers for this retard and when his trial goes up. And you know what? Do not censor them. Just publish their face, name, and address. Don't dox their family, just the people that fucking support this crazy fuck. But that's not the point, though. We've gone right off it. Gab should not have been shut down in my...
Yeah, people who shoot up synagogues, churches, even mosques, no, just they're bad people. Nobody's disputing that. What we're saying is that I don't know that that website should have been shut down because it failed to censor someone.
I mean...
Yes, it's a bad idea. That guy was posting bad ideas. Nobody's disputing that. But I don't think you should destroy the website because they refused to censor. That leads to a very dark place very quickly.
Before the internet, you had crazies would distribute leaflets, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
They were crazy magazines.
I mean, you had the homeless. You had the crazy homeless guy on the end proclaiming the end times, handing out wadded up newspaper. I mean, I don't know what was in that newspaper. He could have, you know, drawn it with crayon. He could have shit in it. I don't have any clue. I didn't want to. But
dude, have you seen the amount of shit carved into the rocks talking about the pharaoh being an ass? Like, graffiti was quite common. Like,
but. Yeah. I don't know. BSC, you've been pretty quiet, man. What do you think?
Pretty much, it just seems like they don't like Gab. Again, other people have posted stuff on regular channels, and it's just, because they don't strictly comb through everything. They're bad.
You're right. And I don't think it's almost like, hey, we're following all these rules. We're censoring our platforms. If you're not going to censor your platform, we're gonna attack you. I don't know. It's kind of like the peer pressure thing almost. It's like, well, if you're not doing it, we're gonna kick your ass for it. You know, it's like. And that's basically what's happening to Gab at this point.
Yeah.
So, it's all right. I got something for, you know, if the founder of Gab, I'll be honest, I forgot the dude's name because I closed all the tabs getting ready for the next article. Yeah, if you're listening, buddy, we got a guide for you in Dojo. Don't worry.
And you're looking for public relations or just someone to kick around the office, I'm there. Not as small as a midget, but I am willing to be thrown.
I don't believe we ever actually made that threat at a meetup. It's like, are you tossing? I mean, I suppose we could have. Suave could have for sure. Dude's a fucking giant.
As I said to everyone, just remember, I'm the only one here who doesn't require sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been drinking a lot of caffeine lately. That point aside. I don't know. I'm ready to move on. You guys ready to move on? I think we got the point out.
Yep.
All right. Next article is from ZDNet. Why IBM bought Red Hat. So anybody who doesn't know, IBM bought Red Hat earlier this week. And millions of nerds cried out in pain. Yeah. Now, in fairness to IBM, they have stewarded some open source technology, and they have not done nearly as bad as some other companies we could name. You know, fuck you, Oracle. Anyways, that reminds me. Speaking of companies that, you know, deserve a general fuck you, hey, Papa John's, fuck you. Anyways.
What'd they do to you?
Took an hour and a half to deliver a cold pizza.
Oh.
Yeah, fuck Papa John's. Anyways, and Oracle. Both those two right there. Anyways, I probably don't need to be ordering pizza anyways. That's that point aside. When IBM bought Red Hat, the author thought it was the biggest open source deal of all time. He was wrong. At $34 billion, it's the biggest software acquisition ever. So why is IBM spending so much money? The reason is twofold. First, it's about positioning IBM as a cloud power. And second, it's about investing in open source, and the two are connected. Except for Microsoft Azure, the cloud is built on Linux and open source software. And Azure allows Linux virtual machines make up half of Azure's workloads, and many of those are Red Hat, Red Hat VMs. So IBM has been supporting Linux and open source software for decades. Big Blue doesn't need to be sold on Linux. And when it comes, actually, IBM made some of those Linux commercials back in like the early 2000s. And they were awesome. So, anyways, the fuck is that? That is a bug. Okay, well, we'll deal with that in a minute. They had the creepy kid in the room saying, "Oh, it's learning." Yeah, the commercial they made like back in 2000. So IBM has been dealing with Linux for a while. When it comes to the cloud, we're a long way from days when former IBM CEO Sam Palumbo said, "You can't do what we're doing in the cloud." Today, IBM is a cloud believer. IBM Cloud, formerly IBM Bluemix, a platform as a service, and IBM SoftLayer, an infrastructure as a service cloud, is also built on open source software. The platform as a service, for example, uses Cloud Foundry as its foundation. What IBM didn't have until now was the expertise to build a top-notch hybrid cloud. God, I hate the word cloud in this context. I just get so tired of it. It's other people's servers, man. Come on. As IBM CEO Ginni Rometty said on a Monday morning conference call, the number one thing customers were telling IBM is they want to move their corporate data across multiple cloud environments with no lock-in. Together, that's what the two of us will do. What Rometty didn't mention is that many of IBM's existing cloud users are legacy IBM customers. So they're hoping that with Red Hat, they can bring in some new ones. They've been contributing to like Kubernetes and OpenShift and stuff like that for a while. And Red Hat has been one of the biggest contributors to like Docker style workloads. Although apparently, I had some interesting conversation today. Apparently, Docker is a lot harder to install in Red Hat than it is compared to like the Debian stuff. Ubuntu specifically was the one I was told. But those points aside, yeah, IBM bought Red Hat, and I don't think we're looking at an Oracle buying Sun scenario. But I am mildly concerned for the future of Red Hat because. They contribute a lot of development time to a lot of open source projects that make up the core of most Linux distros.
Yeah, a bit early to call, but we'll see how we go.
I mean, it's not quite as panicky as Microsoft buying GitHub, right? So,
although
it does seem like a lot of the old players are buying up a lot of the open source players now, which is kind of an odd trend. So.
Yeah, there's been a couple of acquisitions.
Yeah, wait and see what comes out of that. But Psychro says they should fire Pottering as a show of good faith. You take that system D shit and you get out of here. And Pulse Audio while you're at it. And nobody on this panel gets that joke. Son of a bitch.
Sorry.
Pulse was terrible.
You could always, just scream nerd and we'll move on.
All I know, I'm just confused at why they hate the sun so much with this want for clouds.
Angry old man yells at cloud. Anyways, let's move on. Next article is from the CBC.ca. I don't know. I don't know how much I've talked about the climate change stuff on decking. I know we've mentioned it every once in a while. I'm not quite certain of the best way to explain. When it comes to actual, like, real science of what's happening to the climate, I don't know. I don't have a clue. I like to think I just, like, I don't know. I don't know enough about it to make a real argument. I just know the last time I looked at it, which admittedly was several years ago, they couldn't seem to get a computer model that would last more than a year without going wildly off. But, you know, the whole pop sci, we're dead in 5 years if we don't all start shitting in paper bags and living in trees. Yeah, those people can go right the fuck out.
Well, maybe the people saying it won't jetting around the world in jets and eating everything they can get a hold of.
For anybody who doesn't know, Al Gore owns a climate, owns a carbon exchange company. Yeah.
Well,
there's a reason he's advocating.
When you need to gather all these people who push this stuff in a little mountain chalet so that no normies can get into, so they can have their little party up there for a week in Davos.
Okay. Yeah.
You cannot get into Davos unless you're one of these people during that time. There are pockets in Europe now that are no-go for normal people. Like the average EU citizen cannot go to that town because it's reserved for people of the EU aristocrats. Dude, I'm calling them aristocrats. I think it's accurate.
I kind of look at it like this. If climate change was really at this level of seriousness, they wouldn't be talking about cap and trade. They'd just be talking about cap.
Yeah, we would not be fucking around, man.
It wouldn't be cap and trade. It'd just be cap. Cap and trade is creating a new...
If the science was truly there and they could prove it and we're all fucked in 10 years, man, no country would fucking want to be out, not a part of it. You know what I mean? Everybody would be right on board with the harshest things they could do.
Well, the problem is they've been saying we've only got 10 years left for the last, I don't know, 25 years.
When I was at school, we were going to go into an ice age. And there was a giant hole in the atmosphere.
Oh, that's still there. It's shrunk, but that's still there. And you know what? The shit like the carbon, the CFCs and the hole in the ozone layer, they can show pictures of that shit. They've actually got readings on that. So it's like, you know what? There's probably something to that. And immediately, the real problem I have is the moment you even try to talk about this, somebody goes, well, I guess you want to poison the water and, you know, turn the skies black.
Yeah,
no. Well, no, not really. you're Australian, so you get a pass because they kind of already did. But
I just don't want to poison my water. I want to poison your water.
Well, the real problem is no matter what we do, China's going to say fuck you and just keep pumping it out, right?
So, I had a discussion with a millennial about this. Like a
the
real,
millennial.
Real a millennial. Well, a young, you know,
there's,
19 years
there's only
years old.
One, and he represents the group.
He does.
He has been chosen to speak for the tribe.
Pretty much. And he was holding the talking stick at the time, so I knew he was serious. I was like, okay, change my mind. Like, I don't believe that man-made has that much of an impact. Change my mind. And so he went through all this stuff, and long into the story, we get to the end. I said, well, how do we do that? How do we save the planet? You know, what is it? He goes, well, we got to kill 1 billion people.
Well.
Like, he's like, yeah. I'm saying, which billion?
Not us.
I'm like, but dude, that was his fucking solution. Kill 1 billion people, save the planet.
So that explains why he was growing his mustache in that particular style. wow. Okay.
Yeah.
This
guy is also doing a really, you know, there's only 3 or 4 people doing this level of tech science degree at the moment. Like, he's in that 1% of...
So, outside of this bullshit, he's actually smart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's smart to the point where, he solves things like an engineer. What's the easiest, best way to do it? Fuck, kill 1 billion people. You know, like, he's engineeringly minded.
Have you considered that your source data may not be accurate? Just saying, you might want to double-check it. There are some inconsistencies. You know, NASA likes to talk about how certain years are the hottest years on record, but when they actually put it to paper, they're like 34% certain it's the hottest year on record. Now, also, understanding that whereas I do actually hold a science degree, I could claim to be a scientist, a computer scientist. 97% of scientists agree. Yeah, that's a bullshit number. The moment anybody makes an appeal to authority on that argument, you kind of know where it's going. Anyways,
yeah.
So okay, point being, I wanted to throw that out there that whereas when it comes to actual real climate science and what is the exact percentage of impact, because I don't doubt that people are having some kind of an impact. I mean, sure, we're burning a shit ton of carbon-based fuels. Plastic is a thing. I'm certain we're having some kind of an impact. What's the significance of that impact? I have no idea. But, the way it's presented in popular media is everyone's going to die if we don't all buy electric cars and what's the other common thing? Buy anything with the word green in the label, like that kind of shit.
I've always thought Brazil has really missed out on this whole climate change thing. Like the rainforest, the Brazilian rainforest is the lungs of the planet, they claim. If I was a leader of Brazil, I'd go, well, we're going to cut it down unless you pay us.
Damn.
What's it fucking worth? No, dude, I have a resource I cannot touch because the rest of the globe relies on it. I want to use that to promote my people and, and bring them up into a capitalism,
Yeah.
So they get jobs and shit like that. Our biggest resource is the rainforest. You don't want us to touch that resource? Pay us. Pay us to not touch it.
And that's the thing, right? That's totally how that's going to end up going down ultimately. So,
well, how much are you willing? Like, once people get skin in the game, then they actually participate a bit more. So, if you're really into this whole like fucking save the planet, blah blah, let's pay up, man. Come on. Well, let's see how much you're devoted to this.
I like it.
I guarantee it's a lot of fucking people who's going, you know what? Fuck the Green Party. I'm going back over there. I don't want to pay for that shit.
Well, that's what Trump did with the climate accords.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot more leadership like that down the line. Because people just can't afford this universal fucking everything. Or free everything for everyone. There has to be a trade-off. I mean, if I was the Australian government, and I probably am going to have a chance next Tuesday for about 3 minutes. We're rotating through prime ministers again.
Oh, well.
I would have done with the Great Barrier Reef. All right, you want us to protect it? Pay us. I don't give a fuck otherwise.
All right. Well, future prime minister, are you there? And, I didn't quite mean to get on this much of a tangent, but I'm kind of glad we did. Shit. Hang on 1 second. Be right back.
PSV, okay. If you could force them to pay for something, what would the America have that? Oh, dude, with America, you could totally like say you don't want us to dig down into the super volcano. Pay us.
All right. Problem solved. Anyways, moving on. So, yeah, that was a stink bug. I had to deal with that correctly. Anyways,
that could have turned out bad.
Nah, caught it on a piece of Gorilla Tape. And then close the tape over it and didn't squish it because, it's a stink bug. So that problem will solve itself. Anyways, it's like a glue trap, but, cheaper. So the actual article, meanwhile, back at the point, Bitcoin mining could cancel out climate change efforts, scientists say.
All right, I'm going to get a drink because this story sounds a lot of bullshit to me.
That first line, that just looks made up.
In 2017, Bitcoin mining generated 69 million tons of CO2. Demand for, because, we wouldn't have used the electricity for anything else. Demand for Bitcoin could single-handedly derail efforts to limit global warming because of the increasingly popular digital currency takes huge amounts of energy to produce, scientists said on Monday. Producing Bitcoin at a pace with growing demand could, by 2033, defeat the aim of limiting global warming to 2 degrees C, according to U.S. research published in the journal Nature Climate Change. They have a journal named Climate Change. Yeah, you think they might be biased? Just saying. Almost 200 nations agreed in Paris in 2015 on the goal to keep warming to well below a rise of 2 degrees C per above pre-industrial times. Again, the arrogance of humans thinking we know what the best temperature of the planet is.
Well, the best temperature is the current temperature, right?
You know,
it shouldn't change from anything. Change is bad.
You know, I'm going to say this. I wish global warming was truly real and as predictable as they think it is. You know, like, I hope to God we actually get a proper computer model of the climate at some point.
Well, there's a reason they changed it from global warming to global climate change. Because they can't even...
No, I know. I get that. I'm saying I wish it was real. I wish it was as presented. I truly do. Because if we had a functional model of the climate and we could, you know, input changes into it and predict it, and it was accurate, right? And we knew that by varying the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere, we could modify the weather and modify the climate. We could geoengineer our own planet. I wish it was
real. And for once, the weatherman would be right.
I wish it was real because you could punch the kind of data into it. Okay, how much CO2 do we pump into it to turn Siberia into a habitable plane without destroying the rest of the planet? Or what do we need to do with the model to turn the Sahara into usable land as opposed to just, you know, wasteland? You know, how can we expand the equator zone to a greater part of the world? We could actually engineer the planet to better serve. I mean, the population's been growing by a couple of billion every decade, right? So you could actually engineer the planet to support that if we had proper models. And I hope someday we get them. But the way it's presented and the panic over it and the crazy BS, not so much. You know, it just doesn't ring true to me. But, you know, because if you knew that having X amount of CO2 in the atmosphere would produce this much benefit versus this much harm, you could bring it up, you could debate it, you could determine what is the best course, and you could enact it because you would have the data and you could make those decisions. Getting the entire world on board to, you know, manage the chemical composition of the climate to achieve those things, it might be a little harder. But if you actually had evidence of it and how to do it, yeah. But
I would definitely make the world a better place.
I wish to God it was real. Because that would be the start of climate engineering. We could actually engineer the planet to best support us.
Fuck every other species.
So what? No. I want an argument. So the fuck what?
No, I'm not disputing. I, for one, would like to see all these birds that annoy the living fuck out of me every morning go away.
So... I mean, you know, that's my point, though. If we had that proper, accurate model, you could engineer it to do the least possible harm while setting up the planet to do the most possible good for us. So,
okay, there's meant to be this giant plastic floating ocean thing, right?
Yeah.
We've got ships and nets. We've got a lot of people unemployed.
Yeah.
Where are the NGOs for climate change and shit like that going, hey, yeah, you guys need jobs? We get a ship. We're gonna go and pick up fucking plastic.
Somebody has to pay them to do it, which means you need a profit model based on collecting that plastic.
Mr. Gore, if it's so urgent, you think a billionaire would self-fund something like this? Because I'm pretty sure if you want a plaque and a statue of yourself, Mr. Gore, that's how you get a plaque and a statue of yourself, Mr. Gore. You fund something like that.
So.
Whatever happened to that Japanese guy that had that machine that would grind up plastic bottles and remove oils?
I don't know. Did he die? Usually that's what happens with inventors like that.
Yeah, either that or it was a fake.
Yeah. I didn't mean to get sidetracked there, but that's the honest truth. I wish it was as presented because that would mean we would be on the first step to geoengineering the planet and we'd know how to do it to the next planet. So,
not just also the craziness of the article, just reading They say if it they bit mining continues as is, a decade and a half it'll produce 230 gigatons of carbon. I don't think bit mining will be taking up that much power in the future.
Well, Bitcoin does use a lot of computing power, and I mean that's what the article says, but mining the process of producing Bitcoins by solving mathematical equations using high-powered computers and a lot of electricity, or uses a lot of electricity, the researchers said. Currently, the emissions from transportation, housing, and food are covered by the main contributors to ongoing global climate change, the study co-author Katie Talladay said in a statement. This research illustrates that Bitcoin should be added to this list. Mining is a lucrative business, with one Bitcoin currently selling for about $8,300. In 2017, Bitcoin production and usage emitted an estimated 69 million tons of carbon dioxide equivalent, the researchers said. See, they're assuming a source of electricity and averaging it out. But what about Ethereum? What about Litecoin? What about all these other, they're lumping it all into Bitcoin, obviously, but I just...
Look, Whoopsie, if you're serious about mining Bitcoin or any other coin and you're doing it from your own house...
you're doing it wrong.
You are doing it wrong, but power is a concern. You would invest a shit ton in solar panels.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually, right now, real-time monitoring my solar panels because coming into summer, I want to really get a handle on how much power I'm producing. I'm actually putting power back into the grid right now.
Damn.
And I'm just using solar panels. I'm running the PC, the fridge, and the standbys on whatever else is sitting in the house on just solar right now.
So have you done the math of when those panels will pay for themselves?
They've already paid for themselves because I didn't put them in.
Perfect. Well, there you go. So, and you know what? When the efficiencies are there and it makes sense to do that kind of shit, I got no problem with it.
So, don't get me wrong, dude. I've got a massive solar panel, like a solar array on my roof. It's huge. There's 12 panels.
So, and again, this comes back to us, talking about, when you're arguing about climate change, right? It's like, no. I'm all for efficiency. I think that's fantastic and something we should strive for. Half of those emissions that are just, smoke and waste, that's inefficiency right there. That's waste. That's bad. But I don't need some climate change bugaboo to argue that. It's like, no. You can argue that purely from efficiency. And efficiency is a good thing because it makes everything cheaper. Carbon credits, on the other hand, and, taxing power production because the, my global warming... that makes everything more expensive. So,
I don't know. We just need to start the green coin. Have they said that yet?
for every cryptocurrency mined through the green coin on our ICO,
you're doing it. For every green coin mined on our whatever it is mining thing, we pledge to watch one Pornhub video. That way, a tree will be planted in your name. Is it Pornhub? They plant a tree for every video that gets watched or some shit?
That was like a 24-hour thing, and they joked about it being a complete video and just being barren. next article is from The Verge. Internet freedom continues to decline around the world, a new report says. Yep. Digital authoritarianism is on the rise, according to a new report from a group that monitors internet freedoms. Freedom House, a pro-democracy think tank, said that governments are... Do you ever see that episode of Voyager where the think tank were the bad guys?
I never watched much Star Trek.
I had the guy from Seinfeld playing an alien.
Anyways. Never watched much Seinfeld.
Freedom House, a pro-democracy think tank, said today that governments are seeking more control over users' data while also using laws not only intended to address fake news to suppress dissent. It marked the 8th consecutive year that internet freedom was found a decline in online freedoms around the world. The clear emergent theme in this report is the growing recognition that the internet, once seen as a liberating technology, is increasingly being used to disrupt democracies as opposed to destabilizing dictatorships, said Mike Abramowitz, president of Freedom House. In a call with reporters, propaganda and disinformation are increasingly poisoning the digital sphere, and authoritarians and populists are using the fight against fake news as a pretext to jail prominent journalists and social media critics, often through laws that criminalize the spread of false information. In the United States, internet freedom declined in 2018 due to the Federal Communications Commission's repeal of the net neutrality rules. Other countries fared much worse. 17 out of the 65 surveys had adopted laws restricting online media. Of those, 13 prosecuted citizens for allegedly spreading false information. I'm guessing Britain was one of those because we covered some of those stories. And more countries are accepting training and technology from China, which Freedom House described as an effort to export a system of censorship and surveillance around the world. Well, yeah, Gab just got shut down because they refuses to censor people. So, I mean, you know. Of course, there are trade-offs between freedom and security. The report is critical of Sri Lanka and India, which have periodically shut down or limited access to the internet in response to the outbreak of ethnic and religious conflict. In both cases, citizens were being murdered by mobs that had encountered misinformation spread through social media. Cutting off internet service is a draconian response, particularly at a time when citizens may need it the most, whether to dispel rumors, check in with loved ones, or avoid dangerous areas, said Adrian. Go ahead.
Just stop for 1 second. They're blaming the internet for these mobs. No, it's the crazy fucking religion that they follow.
Yeah, the internet
is texting
just,
around.
It's just,
you know,
a new communications platform.
Blasphemy. Yeah, exactly. It's not the internet. It's your backwards ass fucking religious law. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. You're good. I just there it is.
Toasty.
Anyways, while deliberately falsified content is a genuine problem, some governments are increasingly using fake news as a pretense to consolidate their control over information and suppress dissent. The report also found governments in 18 countries increased state surveillance between June 2017 and now, with 15 considering new data protection laws, which can require companies to store user data locally and potentially make it easier for governments to access. Governments in 32 countries used paid commentators, bots, and trolls in an effort to manipulate online conversation. WhatsApp and other closed messaging apps are becoming more popular targets for manipulation, the authors write. There were bright spots. The authors credit Armenian citizens' use of social media, communication apps, and live streaming services for making possible a peaceful revolution earlier this year. And in Ethiopia, a new prime minister released bloggers and activists from prison and pledged to ease restrictions on online communication. So there's that.
Weren't they also in Ethiopia going to tax you for every tweet or message you sent?
Yeah, we had a story like that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they're releasing the bloggers. They're hoping they're an income stream.
Goddamn expensive being a troll these days. Back in my day, we troll for free.
Nice. Shit. I don't know. I mean, I'm not surprised. I was surprised early on when we first started doing the show, and it was just depressing every time. But anymore, it's like this is the norm. The governments of the world have figured out that the internet is a real thing, that people communicating through computers instead of phones, pamphlets, and churches are, you know, just it's just as valid a means of communication, and probably just as much broad communication as the old school broadcast media, mainstream media, as it's called now. I mean, you've got guys on YouTube who have a larger audience than CNN, right?
Yeah, that's got to burn. Done to CNN.
I'm just picking on CNN, but I mean, it's an easy one to use because they used to talk about, oh yeah, this show got, you know, 500,000 viewers. And then you go on, like, PewDiePie, and he's got 1 million-plus subscribers. And it's just like, well, you know, that's, you know, I'm sure there's some broadcasters who are just like,
I'm just going to nose down and call it a night.
I mean, when you get dudes like Medicare and shit like that pulling live audiences on a Tuesday afternoon and getting 20,000 people with an unannounced fucking broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, you got Maddow over there going, you know, shaking her fist. Damn you!
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. They've got to hate it. No wonder mainstream is just, you know, get rid of Gab, get rid of this. Let's get in bed with Facebook and Twitter and shit like that. Let's face it, the only people really on Twitter are the blue check marks, and the rest are just fucking shit posters. Seeing how long they can last.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true.
They have been on Twitter these days. It's like the floor has fucking lava. How long before you get banned?
And here, I'm even thinking about doing a YouTube thing. Purely as a hobby.
Hey, go for it, man. It's in a lull at the moment.
Yeah.
Seriously, they desperately need some new content. The IBS is pretty much done. I mean, everyone's sick of hearing about fucking, you know, social justice warriors, low-hanging fruit, feminism, low-hanging fruit. We need some more dudes like, the anime abridge stuff. Let's get back into some real creative things.
I was actually thinking more 3D printing and building shit, but, you know.
Yeah.
For anybody
wonders the Nort guide.
For anybody who's broadcast. Wondering, the problem has gotten worse. I have three of them now. Admittedly, two 3D printers are in pieces, and I'm probably going to take apart the other one to do some upgrades at some point. But I might need an intervention because
they started self-replicating yet?
They're working on it.
Fucking bored, dude.
I've got a box of parts right over there, ready to go for when I start printing out a Snappy. For anybody who's not aware, a Snappy is a 3D printer that is like 90% 3D printed. Yeah, Cycross keeps telling me to do PeerTube, but I can get paid on YouTube. That'd be awesome. You know, put out, you know, 5 or 6 videos a year and make $5. They're pirating each other. Oh, they're printing each other. Yeah, yeah. Seriously, look up the Snappy Rep Wrap. That thing is like 90% 3D printed. It's actually pretty crazy. I need to build one at some point, just to say I built one. It's sort of like installing Gentoo on a machine on bare metal. It's like you do it once, just kind of to, you know, make yourself feel like a man. Yeah, until you get demonetized because you break into politics at some point, and then somebody doxes you and figures out who the fuck you are. Yeah.
And then how that starts harassing you at your workplace.
Yeah.
Because you just didn't print it exactly the way that they thought, and they're this spurging out over it.
All this plastic you're wasting on your prints, you're destroying the planet, you're contributing to climate change. Yep. Dude, wish the planet was warmer. What's your problem?
With all the butthurt on the internet, it wouldn't surprise me if someone did that to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you think about it. Any significantly large population is going to have the crazies in it. So if you actually get a following on any of these social platforms, like YouTube or PeerTube or Vimeo or whatever, you get any kind of following, there's going to be some nut bars in there. And, you know, one of them is going to do something terrible, and then your channel is going to get shut down because, you know, somebody who watched you did something terrible.
But you didn't tell them to do it. This is the shit I'm not understanding with the world.
Somebody watched your channel and saw how to make Wolverine claws, and they used it to carve up a church. Wait, what?
Yeah.
With plastic? Really?
How is that my fault?
Yeah.
It was a 3D printed church, but...
Wait, what? I'm genuinely lost.
You print with plastic, there's plastic clogging up the environment, therefore you are plastic poisonous person.
Wait, what?
Exactly.
I just got out of my own dick.
It's pretty much how I end every dinner conversation. I'm sorry about the kids. They'll never be the same. They had to learn about the world someday, you know, and I didn't realize that wasn't a toilet. I had a lot to drink.
Oh, fuck. All right, let's do the Sofo story. Passcodes are protected by the Fifth Amendment, says the court. There was an underage driver at the wheel driving on a Florida, Florida man, Florida highway. Yeah, anybody who's bored, just Google Florida man. There's some great aggregated blogs.
That includes man hucking baby at police. man hucking baby at bikers?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, if somebody throws a baby at you, you catch it. I mean, obviously.
Yes, but it's biking it after you catch it. That's the problem.
Oh, PSV. Damn.
Oh, thank God it's Friday. Yeah, that's the one for the week, man. Officer Johnson, fantastic job there. Just one small criticism. Did you really have to spike the child after you caught it? And to be honest, the dance was a little over the top.
So the chief wants to see you in his office something about his excessive celebration. I don't know. Oh, BSV just won pure decking for tonight. So let's
exactly.
We just close out the show at this point.
Here's your broken ceramic squirrel. Please don't stab people with it.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck, man. If we ever had a merch shop, I would sell fucking broken squirrels. Like, just, like, I get every squirrel that gets hand shipped by me, I will hit with a hammer. That is the RU guarantee.
Oh, fuck.
I break it before UPS gets a chance to.
So, police say he was speeding when he crashed. One of the passengers in his car died. Oh, fuck. At the hospital, a blood test showed that the minor had a 0.086 blood alcohol content, slightly over the legal limit of 0.08% for non-commercial drivers. According to court documents, police found two iPhones in the car, one that belonged to a surviving passenger and one that allegedly belonged to the driver. The passenger told police that the friends had been drinking vodka earlier in the day. Why would you say what you were drinking? Oh, no, officer, it's fine. It was just vodka. Vodka early in the day, and that she'd been talking with the driver on her iPhone. The police wanted the driver's phone, so they got a warrant to search it for data, photos, text messages, and more. They also sought a court order compelling the minor to hand over the passcode for the phone and for an iTunes account associated with it. This is where we get into the evolving world of the Fifth Amendment and a compelled passcode disclosure. On last Wednesday, 24th of October, the Florida Court of Appeals quashed a juvenile court's order for the defendant, identified by his initials. Why does he have four initials? GAQL, since he's a minor, to disclose his passcode. Yeah, why does he have four initials?
Well, this is probably Gregory the something the third.
GAQL. Oh, Psychro says he's Latino. Okay. I'll accept that. I don't know. I mean, I'm just like, yeah, sure, why not? a trial court has agreed to compel the disclosure, given that... a trial court had agreed to compel the disclosure, given that the act of producing the passcodes is not testimonial because the evidence, custody, and authenticity of the passcodes are a foregone conclusion. No, the Court of Appeals said last week, we disagree. As other, but certainly not all, courts have decided, compelled password disclosure amounts to forcing the defendant to disclose the contents of his own mind, a violation of the Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination. The foregone conclusion standard keeps cropping up in these cases. It allows prosecutors to bypass Fifth Amendment protections if the government can show that it knows the defendant knows the passcode to unlock a device. The latest from the Florida Court of Appeals... put a twist on that. Whereas the government in the past had only had to show that the defendant knows their password, in this case, the court said that the government needed to show that it knows that specific evidence needed to prosecute the case is on the device, not just that there's a reasonable certainty the device can be unlocked by the person targeted by the order. I like this. This is why I'm talking about this. That specific evidence needed to prosecute the case is on the device. In other words, we need to know that you're forcing this guy to give up his password for a fucking reason, not just because you want to see if he took any dick pics.
I'm totally against you, Morse.
Okay.
I'm opposite of that.
Go ahead.
There's proof that he was drunk mm-hmm. at the wheel, right? There's proof he did not have a driver's license.
Sure.
Right? He's a minor,
yep.
And he was drinking. He's racking up the felonies here, and
yeah,
he's fucking manslaughter. It would be.
Well, I don't think they need the phone at this point. That's
I don't think they need the phone. And where the fuck are the parents?
hiding in a corner crying, probably. At this, I mean, like, but that's my point,
this,
though.
This guy's a fucking minor. No, I'm sorry, man. You can have all the constitutional fucking law, and you should follow it, but we don't need his phone. He's fucked.
That's already. The point, though. That's the point. Right. If you don't need the phone, why are you asking for this guy's password?
They're trying to tack on extra stuff. Or trying to get the fucking other kids that are in the car in trouble. Man, as a prosecutor, I'm looking at those four things alone. And this guy's going to do, you know, juvie hall jail time.
Oh, I'm not doubting that. But, and, you know, getting drunk and killing people. Okay, you know what? I went to some Halloween parties last night. I took Uber. It's like, oh, I'm fucked up. Yep, Uber. So I'm sure my phone got tracked doing it. But you know what? It's just one of those things where,
dude,
it's like, yeah.
It's responsible. You're fucking an adult. You're being responsible with yourself and your other people's lives.
Except for the fact that Uber double charged because it was a holiday. So you know what? Let's add that one to the list. Fuck Uber. Anyways,
you went out. You chose to drink, and instead of like doing the fucking stupid thing and getting in your car, you chose to get an Uber.
Actually, I knew I was going to drink, so I took an Uber out there too. So it has actually turned out to be quite an expensive evening.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, I had a little bit of fun.
Who cares?
Saw a few people wearing costumes they should not have been wearing.
If
that woman was 30 pounds lighter, she could have pulled off the Hello Nurse, but yeah. Sorry.
No, I'm thinking of Scorpion. Shouldn't be thinking of Scorpion.
Get over here. I'm hungry.
Boo, she was a big bitch. No, man, this is nothing to do with the phone. It's a non-story. I like the ruling that they have to prove that they know there's something incriminating on there before they can open it.
Something related to the case.
Exactly. Yeah. Shit, just prosecute what you got. You got this kid dead to rights.
No, I mean, why are we treating digital devices like they're different from any other kind of evidence? They're not. If you don't, you know, if there's a lockbox and there's documents in that lockbox and it doesn't have shit to do with the fact that the dude shot somebody, why do you need the lock to the lockbox? You don't. It's the same damned thing. So I like that we've got more and more judges who are kind of like, yeah, guys, if it's not related to the case, you don't need it. Back to the article. If prosecutors already knew what was on the phone and that was the evidence needed to prosecute the case, they didn't prove it, said the court last week. From the order to quash the password, because the state did not show with any particularity knowledge of the evidence within the phone, the trial court could not find that the contents of the phone were already known to the state and thus within the foregone conclusion exception. So what they're saying there is foregone conclusion means we know what's on the phone. We have it from other evidence and we can prove what's on that phone. We just need to unlock it so that we can actually close the loop. Right. Regardless of the foregone conclusion standard, producing a password is testimonial and has the potential to harm the defendant, just like any other Fifth Amendment violation would. I'll eventually figure out punctuation. Anybody who's been listening to this show has figured out for years I don't know how punctuation works. It's not as if the passcode itself does anything for the government. What it's really after is what lies beyond that passcode, information it can use as evidence against the defendant who's being compelled to produce it. Here's the actual quote. Here, the state seeks the phone passcode not because it wants the passcode itself, but because it wants to know what communications lie beyond the passcode wall. If the minor were to reveal the passcode, he would be engaging in testimonial act, utilizing the contents of his mind and demonstrating as a factual matter that he knows how to access the phone. As such, the compelled production of the phone passcode or the iTunes password here would be testimonial covered by the Fifth Amendment. You know what? I'm just going to assume if you're ever arrested, just smash your phone. Just break it in half right then and there in front of the cops.
Dude, that's destruction of evidence.
Yeah, it's probably easier than fighting over whether or not you should be forced to give up your password.
You know what? How about don't put incriminating shit on your phone? Just fucking saying, man.
Yeah, no, that's very have good you, advice, actually. Yeah, maybe just don't do shit.
Don't record it.
Just, you know, don't do incriminating things. You won't have problems. But
I was one fucking hell of a teenager, man. I am glad we did not have cameras. That's all I'm saying. I would probably be doing 25 to life right now.
I'm just thinking if the cops showed up, how badass it would be. Somebody just, you know, right there in front of the police, put your hands up, pulls out his cell phone, cracks it in half, drops it on the ground, bolts up his hands.
I'm pretty sure you still get the data off it, though.
Oh, yeah. Nah. Well, they'd go for
you
your
know,
accounts. But
with the modern criminals, they won't do that. They'll try eating the phone to get rid of it.
Well, we
plus
do
one.
We punched him in the gut. He threw up a plastic bag full of mushrooms, half a pound of weed, and a cell phone, sir.
I mean, wonder what the lithium's like on the digestive tract.
I imagine not good. Although, truthfully, the amount of lithium in those batteries isn't that much. So, you might get away with it with only a minor ulcer. I mean, you know. BSV Psychros is saying you're on point tonight, by the way.
Rushing it, man.
I don't want to go in first. That's usually the most dangerous spot.
We already said you won pure decking tonight, so, I mean, anyways.
God, let some of us else get points, BSV.
It's like Cards Against Humanity, man. Come on. All right, well, there's nothing really else to talk about in this story. It's more just details on the case and how, you know, yeah, and, you know, how they're not holding people in contempt of court for not giving up their passwords for some of this stuff, which is nice. But, yeah, like you said earlier, dude's probably going to juvie for a while based on this, you know, all the other shit. So, but, yeah, they just don't need the contents of the phone, so why are they making an issue out of it? Although,
it just,
now that I think about it, most modern phones unlock with a fingerprint. So what are they going to do? Just start pressing your finger to the phone immediately? Because if they physically force you to touch it, how does that work? I don't know.
Would that be similar to an actual physical key than a password?
Yeah, they're confiscating the physical key. Bring out the bring out the weed clippers.
Bring out the weed saw.
Son of a bitch. Like I said, the best option when you get arrested, just crack your phone in half. Just, you know, right there in front of the cops, just snap it in half, throw the two pieces to either side, preferably in a ditch that's got water in it if you can manage it.
Either that or always keep a very strong earth magnet in your glove box.
Just have a Tasker profile set up to wipe the contents of the phone if it hears you say, "I'm being arrested." Siri, I'm being arrested, and the phone erases itself. I mean, you know, that actually might be worth setting up now that I think about it.
Next meetup, we know what to say.
Siri, I'm being arrested. God damn. You know, just everybody's phone erases itself, and everybody beats the shit out
Looking
of Fox because we all know
porn.
Fox would be the one who would say it.
I'm just going to re-script it so when you do say that, it just goes, "Looking up animal porn, Dave."
Nice.
No, delete. Looking up cake fart porn. No.
Third no detected. Looking up My Little Pony porn. Let's move on to this. So we've got a couple of different things for first tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is an article that Psychro sent me from XDA Developers. He sent this to me because he couldn't find a great... he wanted me to talk about KeePass on Android. And the last update, they added Autofill, which works with Android Oreo. And he was talking about it's actually easier than typing out bad passwords. to just use the autofill so that if you are randomly generating passwords, Psychros would recommend something based off MD5 hashes, which are, you know, it's a good source of randomness. You probably want to go ahead and step up to SHA-256. I'm pretty sure MD5 has been broken. But, you know, it's a good point. The article also talks about LastPass being good, but it's closed source. KeePass is open source, so you could actually examine the code if you wanted to. And there's a version, you know, KeePass to Android has been updated such that it interacts with the autofill APIs so that if you have passwords stored in KeePass, you can use that to automatically fill in passwords on websites and the like within other apps. So that lets you use relatively strong passwords, and, you know, because KeePass stores everything in the local database, you could set up an rsync script on your phone if you're running Android and, you know, want to set up that kind of thing. I believe it supports things like Dropbox if you want to just use a standard issue file locker. I don't know on the iPhone. I know KeePass, because I used to use KeePass Mini on the iPhone when I had one of those. I know it's got iPhone support, but I don't know if it does the autofill, and I don't know how it does the syncing. But either way, you still end up with just a file you can copy off and store somewhere that's got all your passwords in it, right? So it's a nice little app, and our IRC patron recommends it. So, yeah, definitely worth covering there. The next thing I have for us tonight in Digital Dojo is just painful. It's a Reddit link, because it goes to the Better Every Loop subreddit, and it comes from a video where they just went around asking people their passwords. And it's hilarious and painful at the same time. Because, so, you know, they'll ask the first girl, well, what's your password? Well, it's based off my dog's name and my birthday. Oh, yeah, what's your dog's name? It's Fluffy. When's your birthday? 1986. Well, your password's Fluffy 1986? And then she looks kind of dumbfounded. Yeah, I guess it is. I mean, you know, it's like, come on, man. So, and then they go through a bunch of people who just flat out give up their passwords when asked, which is just like, it's like you don't get the concept if you just give it out when somebody asks you.
And they spend all their time learning how to socially engineer people, and this is the shit that it's.
Yeah.
You just need a camera and a professional looking mic.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Hey, I've got both of those things. Dude, I got some ideas.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds like a road trip.
Road trip. We're going to have some next meetup. But I like the last guy who they actually said, so we have your password now? And he's like, oh, shit.
I guarantee none of them fucking changed it either.
That's probably true. Also, from the comments of that thread, you know, when somebody says, hey, this platform has the thing that filters out your password, changes it to all stars, they're lying. It doesn't do it. Don't punch your password in.
Why would you want your password to be all stars?
Well, it's easy to remember when it's just 16 stars in a row. Oh, I had to change mine at work today. It's like, well, and I'm off tomorrow, so here's hoping Monday goes well. So, anyways, and then the last article I have for us tonight is a Medium post that details setting up a hidden web service on I2P. So, Gab, if you're listening, this is an article you might want to read. I forgot to post the link. Copy, paste. No, don't block the element. Fucking ad block. Anyways. Yeah, I just blocked the IRC. There we go. So unblock the IRC, paste the link. And then paste the link in TeamSpeak. There we go. So he actually spells out EEP sites. I don't know if that's the way you're supposed to say it. You know, EEP sites or I2P. But this is not Tor. This is I2P. And, Mr. Torba, I've been informed, you want to read this article. It details setting up a hidden website on the I2P network. So, from the article, an EEP site is a website that is hosted anonymously, a hidden service which is accessible through your web browser. It can be accessed by setting your web browser's HTTP proxy to use the I2P web proxy and browsing to the site. So, apparently it's fairly easy to do, and this article has got a fairly nice walkthrough of how to set it up and how to get at it, and then how to set up I2P to forward your website onto the I2P network. And your URL basically ends up being a crazy hash, but you can register domains that are a little bit more friendly. And then, it's not as hard as setting up. I think a Dot Onion site's a little bit more involved than setting up one of these guys. Just kind of reading through, setting it up using a tunnel wizard, but compared to some of the other servers, I think .onions are fairly complex to set up too. So if you wanted to set up a hidden website, this is a nice little read on. It's fairly short, tells you what software to use. If you don't want to set up an I2P website, then you're sad, and I don't think you need to be listening to my my podcast. That's all I got for tonight. Are you closing thoughts?
I got a movie for you guys out there, Bomb Town, worth having a look at, and an anime that's a little bit old. It's not Japanese or anything like that, but it's comedy sort of thing. F is for Family. I just recently, it's old, but I just picked it up. It seems all right.
Have we got links for that stuff?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
BSV, closing thoughts.
I don't know. I think I spent all my built-up comedy earlier.
Well, we already declared you the winner of Pure Decking tonight, so, you know.
Toasty!
Anyways, there you go. Oh, and I just realized I forgot some things from the intro. I have been drinking most of the night, actually. Probably too much of it. Jim Beam Devil's Cut, because that is my, at the moment, my favorite drinking whiskey, cheap whiskey. Bourbon. I think this one's actually a bourbon.
Oh, just to point out, that Bomb Town, you're going to want to search for the 2017 version. There is an old 1940 version.
Okay, noted. And I dressed up as Riddler for Halloween. So, yeah. That's all I got for tonight. And, we did closing thoughts. Right, closing spiel. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit is probably the best way to get at us. You get on the IRC during the show. I might interact with you. Psychros has gotten quite a few call-outs tonight. And other than Sardonyx being his AFK self in the IRC there.
The IRC policeman.
Yeah, you know. We actually have a sound clip.
He really enjoys it when you do ASCII art, especially large spiders.
And I have been playing with the soundboard most of the night, so that's all I got. Anybody have anything before I hit the Pac-Man sound and stop recording?
Nope.
Nope.